back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, live from the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on 95.7 The Game.
Alrighty, we are joining you from Pleasanton, California, the Cheesesteak Shop, on 4825 Hop Yard. Come by, say hello. Starting to get some action in here. And
hey.
Speaking of action, oh, you like that one? Time to go out to Adam Kaplan. He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. Adam is brought to you by California Bank of Commerce, the premier business bank. Adam, can I presume you got to Miami safely?
I did, man. Guys, right. Good to talk to you. First of all, here's my question.
Yeah.
Is the guy who owns this cheesesteak place, is he from Philly?
No, but okay.
Because you can't call out there, guys. Look, I've been in the Bay Area for decades. These hoagie shops show up. Steiny, you aren't you from like Harrisburg or somewhere around there?
Redding.
Okay, not too bad. See, I remember. How good is the steak? You tell me. Did you eat it yet?
Well, you know what? Here's the bottom line, and I'm a bottom line type of guy, as Henry Fonda said in On Golden Pond. It's the closest thing they have.
All right.
It's the closest.
Right.
So okay. I really do think it's the most authentic.
I like that. All right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm trying to think what we've been talking about today, because I like to just include you in our conversations. Did you make anything out about the Chiefs owner talking about Mahomes' contract and saying, yeah, we'll get to it in 12 to 15 months? I didn't really think too much of it, but I've heard some radio people, et cetera, say the timing's a little weird, and what if Mahomes wants to get something done sooner?
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. They've got him under control for at least 3 more years.
Right.
With next year, plus his fifth-year option, plus 2 tags. If you don't want to do that in today's NFL. And by the way, with the CBA up after this next season, we don't know if franchise tags will still be there. You think they would be. And that's the gamble that they could take. But look, the thought process from Mahomes' people that the deal would get done this spring, it's not like he's going to hold out. He'll only be in his fourth year. And only his third year as a full-time starter. But you would like to knock that out, because the longer you wait for the quarterback, that deal, if it gets done this year, will be between $40 and $43 million, most likely per season.
Wow.
There's no way it'll be under $40, because that's with the rise in the cap. Lee Steinberg will do that deal. He's obviously one of the most famous agents in NFL history. With Steve Young's agent. There's just no way, based on the way that Mahomes is going. You look at Jimmy G's contract at $25 million, who's not a dynamic quarterback.
Right.
He did his early. They did it at the time of they did it a little bit later, but his is $25 million a year. Think about it. And Mahomes is way more talented, asked to do way more. How could you take less than $40 million for that deal with a rise in the cap? You can't. That's where it's going.
Well, and that was a lot of our discussion the first hour, is just there are two different paths here, these two quarterbacks, obviously for reason. And we were just kind of batting around, you know, you want a guy at 25, it gives you more flexibility. Of course you want Patrick Mahomes if you can get him at any price. But what we were getting at is, I don't think either franchise would want to change where they're at all right now.
No, the only thing you can do, I had a cap manager tell me from the quarterback from his team, they were thinking of, this is before Russell Wilson did his 4-year deal, is do a fully guaranteed contract from beginning to end, but lower the base salaries. Let's say you and I were doing Mahomes' contract. I would say, hey, let's do this. Let's do a 4-year deal, but fully guaranteed signing, but it's going to be $35 million a year. Would you do it? That's what you say to Lee Steinberg. You're going to take less per year, but we're going to fully guarantee it at signing, so if we have to cut him after year 2, he still gets the money. Would you take that? And that way you save the money.
Right.
You save the money, but here's the problem with fully guaranteed contracts. They have to put anything that's fully guaranteed, base salaries, signing bonuses, or fully guaranteed roster bonuses, they have to be put in escrow. Owners do not like to put up money up front like that.
Adam, I'm looking at the Chiefs situation here, staying on this topic. And I like where the Niners are at. As you mentioned, they front-loaded Jimmy G's contract. They have him for about $25, $26 million over the future, which enables them to sign a guy like George Kittle to an extension, Buckner if they want to, and they can move all some deals. Kansas City, I'm looking at it. Do I believe the window's closing for the Chiefs? No. They They have Patrick Mahomes. Whenever you have a Patrick Mahomes, they're going to be in contention. But, boy, they have a lot of free agents, you know, starting with Chris Jones on that defensive line. I just don't know how the Chiefs can – or how you can stay competitive in today's NFL when you front-load so much money to your quarterback or you give your quarterback so much percentage of the cap. It's just tough to do.
Bonte, what you do is you could give him minimum base salaries, give him a 6-year deal with a major signing bonus, and that takes up a lot of the guaranteed money. You could give him an historic $60 billion signing bonus. You spread it over the lifetime of the deal. The proration per year, $12 million a year in signing bonus money that's spread out over 6 years or 5 years for $60 million. Just sum this up so we don't bore people. There are ways you can get around it, but you're right. Chris Jones, by the way, he's no lock to return. Chris Jones is a very gifted player and talented player. The belief around the league is that he doesn't always bring it every game, but when he brings it, he's almost unstoppable. And by the way, he's playing on a moderate calf strain. It won't be 100% when he plays, but he's definitely playing.
You know, Adam, when you look at just team building and, you know, you got to pay the quarterback up front like the 49ers did, or you saw the Rams last year take a rookie quarterback deal to the Super Bowl. Obviously, Mahomes is going to get broken off at some point. What do you think is the ideal way of team building and how you're paying the quarterback? Is it the rookie deal mentality, or is it you pay the quarterback and you kind of fill in the gaps out of there?
All right. What you have to do is properly evaluate the quarterback. You cannot be wrong. If you know you've – like Mahomes is easy. He's the best quarterback in football, and he probably will be a Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history on his trajectory, which he's on now. But you have to – like when the Niners did the Jimmy G contract, giving him $25 million a year, I mean, they were betting that he was going to be great or very good. He's not – I don't think he'll ever be great, but he's a solid quarterback. They had to know that. That you can't be wrong on that. I remember the Raiders telling me when they missed on Jamarcus Russell – now, this was on the old cap – that set them back 5 years. Because that was when the contracts are crazy before the 11 CBA. If you get the quarterback, if you make your bet and that's wrong on your quarterback for on a long-term deal, on the dead money on your cap, that kills your ability to sign free agents. It's hard. And then the problem is then you have to, when you make that mistake, you have to go get another quarterback. And you got to pay him. But I think in the Chiefs' case, they're easy because they know they're going to get it right. But if you're a team that gets it wrong, you're screwed. And that shows up with their person. That's how you get fired, by the way. Your whole personnel department gets fired. You get it wrong, you don't overcome that.
Adam Kaplan joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. One thing that I don't know if I want to say it won't die, but yesterday again, all right, Kyle Shanahan brought up Kirk Cousins and how he said, you know, I guess it's been well documented, you know, Kirk Cousins was the guy I had targeted early. After I got here. So here and here's I just want to bring you into this conversation because 49er fans do not like when people say or compare Cousins to Garoppolo. They think Garoppolo is better than Cousins. They think Cousins can't get it done and all those kind of things. But my feeling is Kyle Shanahan must have thought he could win with Kirk Cousins in his system. So obviously you know what I mean? He thought Kirk Cousins could essentially maybe do the same thing as Garoppolo if you put the right pieces around him.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, these quarterbacks are called game managers, Stani. But one of my last scoops for ESPN in 2017 was that was going to happen, that Kyle was going to get Kirk Cousins, and then we know that that didn't happen. But well, there were probably like 4 or 5 of us who reported that, and it was just because we knew what was going on. But here's what people didn't know. That when Kyle was only with the Browns for a short time, his quarterbacks were Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. They're the two quarterbacks that he wanted when he was with the Browns for that draft, the 2014 draft. I reported that he wanted Carr and that Garoppolo was number two. Now, depending on who you speak with, it was 1 or 2, 2 and 1. But I think Kyle believes so much, and so did his father, Mike. They believe so much in the West Coast offense and their version of it. I'm not saying they could get any quarterback, but they don't need a dynamic quarterback. Just execute the play like design, and you'll win. See the New Orleans game? He doesn't have to be that good when he had to outduel Drew Brees. Right. Just don't turn it over. And by the way, he will throw more than 25 times in this game. I'd take the over on that.
Wait, so real quick, you're saying Kyle Shanahan liked Garoppolo.
He did, yes.
In the draft, because the
in 14, yes, he did. Right. Yes, he did. A Brown source who worked with him told me that. I can tell you that for a fact.
So how does that kind of jibe with Kyle kind of having to be convinced of Garoppolo when Lynch came to him? Or was that overblown a little bit?
No, you know? That was overblown. First of all, he liked the Kirk Cousins stuff. Kirk Cousins, he saw them very, very similar. But it wasn't that. What year was Cousins drafted, by the way?
Was it?
I don't think it was.
Same as RG3. Yeah, same as RG3.
Well, it was not four. Yeah, that was number. That was 2012.
Okay, yes. There you go, 2012.
Yeah, because they weren't in the same draft. Yeah, so that was not even the discussion. But at 14, and I'm telling you as a fact, someone who worked very, very closely with Kyle in 2014 before Kyle left Cleveland told me flat out that he loved Jimmy G. There was no question. And I'm like, well, why didn't I never heard that before until I asked that person, because he worked with Kyle then. I was like, okay, that would make some sense why they traded for him. But I could tell you that Jimmy, talking to the Niners about him, he's everything they thought he would be. From a leadership standpoint, right. He cares, he studies. And listen, Kyle is going to challenge quarterbacks. He's just like his dad. He's very hard on him. And the great thing is Jimmy G has responded.
No, he definitely is hard on him. Adam Kaplan here on 95.7 The Game with BS&G. Now about the game. I want to talk about the game.
Yeah.
How do you see this game playing out, man? I mean, got the high-flying Kansas City Chiefs offense.
It's hard, man.
This is good defense, and this Niners offense that has scored 30 points a game, but they've allowed Jimmy Garoppolo to not really throw the ball. They haven't allowed him to throw the ball because of running game.
Yeah, Bonte, I don't know. I have to look at the betting lines. I'm not someone who I don't bet, but I like the over-unders. I think he's going to have to throw the ball more than 25 times, not eight like last game. That's not going to happen again. I think it's going to be fairly high scoring in the high 20s. I'm making my pick Friday. I need a little bit more information. This is my 19th Super Bowl. It's the hardest it's been for me. You guys know that. Wow. What's the point spread? One or one and a half?
One and a half, and it hasn't moved at all.
Let me ask you a question. What is the talk in the Bay Area about the Niners? Are they believers? Are the fans believers on your station when they call them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're so confident.
It's scary, actually.
Well, I do radio in Kansas City, and they're not so confident. They're like,
really?
Yes, we think so. You know why? Because Marty Schottenheimer, he took it only take him so far, and they never really got there. And remember, they haven't been in the Super Bowl for 50 years.
Right.
50 years,
well.
Folks.
Yeah, 50
right,
years.
Right, right.
See, Niner fans, Adam, they think that the Chiefs are just too one-dimensional, and if you drop back and pass 50 times a game, it plays into the strength of the 49ers.
Well, they could run the ball. Yeah, and the Niners could run the ball. But here's my question. You guys were asking me a lot, and we learned during the season, if you ask Jimmy G to throw the football, he can do it. Both Saints, the Saints game, both Cardinals games, the Seahawks game, so he can do it. The one thing is the Chiefs' pass defense is really good. The run defense is not great, but they're way better against the run than they were the first half of the season. I love how both teams are the exact opposite. Andy Reid only runs the ball when he has to. Kyle runs the ball. And Kyle said 2 weeks ago he's playing to their defense. That's why they run the ball as much.
Adam, you know, when I've looked at just why the 49ers have had success this year, I mean, you referenced it, obviously, the domination at the line of scrimmage has been vital. It's everything to this team. Juszczyk dominating games without even touching the ball. But the only time this year that I've really seen George Kittle get slowed down was because of the elite personnel that Minnesota had out there, as well as understanding what Kyle wanted to do. Zimmer's just so good and so brilliant at it. Can Kansas City try to take away George Kittle?
Well, the thing is, Kittle's going to be on the field about 95% of the time. The question is, will they use him as a receiver? Because, as you know, they've been using mainly lately as a blocker. I think it's about opportunity. They need another passing target. The one thing that the Niners are not deep in is pass targets. Because of Dante Pettis not being the player they thought he would be, they don't really have another guy. I mean, Bourne, you could use him, but he's not explosive. They need another playmaker, and I'm glad you brought Kittle up because he's going to be that next guy. And by the way, they have not talked contract, I'm told, with Kittle and his agent yet.
That was
on purpose, by the way. That both sides agree they would wait until after the Super Bowl.
I like that. But, Adam, what's the personnel they're going to throw at him? Are they going to put Honey Badger on him? Are they going to try to line
him
up with a linebacker?
That's the thing. You know, Kansas City, they're deep at corner. They're good at safety. They're not great at linebacker. The chief linebackers do not cover well. So you're right. I think Kittle will be a factor in this game. Absolutely will be a factor. He's going to have to be the second or third pass target. But guys, he doesn't really come off the field, so he needs to get the ball more. And then Kyle has not had to because the run game has been so great. You can't rely on that. And I think they're going to have to throw again more than they probably would like to.
I'm going to help all you guys out because sometimes you get too detailed into scheme, et cetera. Here's the way I'm looking at it after a while. The offense, Chiefs is very good. 49ers is really good. 49ers defense is great. The Chiefs defense is middle of the road. I mean, the bottom line is the Chiefs defense is the weakest unit of the four, if you know, each team's offense and defense. And I think that's simply what it comes down to.
Here's my question, though, Steiny. Can the Niners score? If their run game is not going well, can they score?
You know, that's interesting because I brought this up a lot is what if the – and but by run game, what do you mean? Mahomes is getting 60 of them, like being flushed out of the pocket? Because it doesn't seem like anybody thinks Andy Reid would even dare, like, try to run the ball to fool the 49ers a little.
No, he won't because he doesn't believe in it. It all started in Philly. He's not that he's a big analytics guy, but it really started with him in Philly about the pass game. I was talking to Joe Banner. The former Eagles president. He said Andy is really never changed. He's gonna come out throwing. Damian Williams is a good player, number 26. You guys will see him Sunday.
Yep.
He's better in the pass game than the run game. Coaches don't change, by the way. We're in the Super Bowl. They're not going to all of a sudden change with a different game plan. The coach who stupidly changed his game plan was Bill Callahan, my first Super Bowl in 2002, and you know what happened in that game against the Bucs.
Right. I guess of all the scenarios, nobody's allowing for the Chiefs running the ball on the 49ers, I guess. You know what I mean?
The Niners front is so good. The Chiefs are going to come and do what they do. But again, here's my one question for the Niners.
Yeah.
If they're behind, because we know the Chiefs have done it, they've done it like crazy in the playoffs. If they get behind, will they be able to score? I don't know that they can.
Interesting.
Adam, here's my counter. My counter to that would be Jimmy Garoppolo went down in the second half, has a 118 quarterback.
I saw that.
Rating.
I know.
It is what it is. Yeah. I've watched this guy throw from the pocket, right, B?
Yeah, and it's funny, Butcher Boy, you're not coming on side when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, Adam, Butcher Boy is my co-host here on the pre- and post-game show, so we go at it every single week when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo and get behind. But I'm with you, Adam, because if you do get behind like the Tennessee Titans, all of a sudden it takes away your run game. And that's why I think in this game, I agree with you, Jimmy Garoppolo will have to throw, but I guarantee you we see more first down throws because the Chiefs love to crowd the line of scrimmage with 8-9 guys in the box to take away that run game. I think we're see a lot of play action pass from the 49ers on first down, Adam.
Yeah, you know why you throw on first down? Because it allows you to run on second down. Like, if you get 5 yards, you could run. Kyle's great. I'm a big fan of his. He's you got to give John Lynch credit also. He's a big part of this. I was pretty critical of them the first 2 years, but I did say give them one more year to actually draft and develop better, and they sure as hell did. It's been pretty incredible. I never thought it'd come together. As bullish as I was on the Niners, they have to go to their training camp. I didn't expect this. I mean, this is and there's no reason to think that they can't keep doing it because they've drafted so well and developed so well in the last 2 years, particularly that front four, folks. I cannot wait to see that front four against the Chiefs offensive line. Really can't.
You got time for one more?
Absolutely.
Adam, you referenced the George Kittle contract kind of being pushed back by both parties to the end of the offseason. Obviously, DeForest Buckner wants an extension. And we also know Eric Armstead, Jimmy Ward. These guys are coming up for free agency. And we've seen in years past, you know, you have a great Super Bowl. Larry Brown gets broken off big-time cash by the Oakland Raiders.
That's right.
Who's the guy that can make the most money off of a performance this weekend?
Not that it'll matter in terms of free agency, but George Kittle, I think that deal will be between, when it gets done, 13 to 15 million a year. It's going to be historic. He's the best tight end in the National Football League. Why? Because he does everything. If he was with Andy Reid, you're talking about 110 catches a season, okay?
Wow.
He doesn't need to do that. Do you know how Kyle Shanahan has serious man love with this guy? We know that. It's not a secret. This guy, he's so indispensable. For their free agents, I don't know if anyone's going to break the bank. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders, I know they'd like to have him back, but he's an older player. He's given them a great veteran presence. Jimmy Ward, let's not forget, he's had a significant injury history. So he was on a 1 year deal anyway. He's not going to make a lot of money.
Right.
I don't see it. By the way, Jerick McKinnon's contract will be cleared up. You know, he hasn't even played for them and he made a boatload. That'll be taken care of. So, Coleman, by the way, they have to make a decision on his contract by mid-April. that's another thing is they've got a lot of April contracts. You know, they put those crazy dates in there. So they'll clean it up.
Yeah.
Prague's great at it. He's done it for years. They'll be fine with it. I don't see it being an issue. They don't. By the way, Kittle, they have another year with Kittle. So I wouldn't. 2020 will be his last year. So it's not a big deal.
Dang, I just looked at the clock, Adam. We blew you up. I'm sorry about that. But
I'm good,
but
man.
There's a
my
reason,
next
obviously.
It's the top
great
of the hour.
Stuff.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Hey,
thank you.
Yeah, take care, Adam. Have a good one, buddy.
Enjoy, Adam.
Adam Kaplan.
Enjoy South Beach 95.7
The Game.
Adam Kaplan's great.
He's very good.
Love him.
He's our NFL insider.
He said something there, though, that kind of got me a little, He said Jimmy Garoppolo will never be great. Like, unequivocally, he said it without a doubt, no hesitation. And it's like, really? You're not going to even leave a little tiny little, you know?
I'm not mad at the bold take.
Little door open?
I'm not mad at the bold take.
But you were mad at me for hating on Garoppolo all year?
Well, the Niners, he hated on Garoppolo twice this year.
Why?
Once after a 37-8 victory over the Green Bay Packers.
Heard. That's what Mike
and then once
said.
After they dominated the Vikings and they ran the ball 47 times, you lost your mind.
Steiny, first off, you got to remember that
like
I listen to my grandfather and my dad tell me that coming off a back-to-back MVP season, Steve Young will never be Joe Montana. So that's what the standard is. And unfortunately, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo has exceeded my expectations, but I'm moving the goalposts. You know, as the season goes on, my opinions evolve, all right? Don't panic.
Where
pivot,
is the
as we
flipper
say.
Sound?
No.
It's never been, there it is.
Oh.
You
Joe
have
Montana.
Flipped so much on Jimmy G this year. Unbelievable.
Man, I thought I was going to have fun today.
Yeah, we are having fun. This is part of the fun.
Jeez. Man, look at how my team props me up over here, Steiny.
Nice.
I get it.
I love you, man.
I get it.
I don't know if Garoppolo will be great or not. I don't know.
We are, and that's the old. That's another trick. Is you don't know how Adam defines great.
Right.
I mean, if he thinks if he says the 49ers have had two great quarterbacks in their lifetime in the franchise history, Montana and Young. Well, you know what? Garoppolo might not be that great.
Okay, that's fair.
You know,
right, that's a good point.
So you can always
you
wiggle.
And that English dictionary. Yeah,
exactly.
Man.
All righty. We're at the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton. 4825 Hop Yard Road in Pleasanton.
Woo! Big crowd, yeah.
Let's go.
It's part of our week on the road. We'll be here at the Cheesesteak Shop till 2 today. And then tomorrow we're broadcasting from Bartlett Hall.
That's wicked
cool. In San Francisco.
Good food.
Friday we go to the Keysar Pub on Stanyan. And again, today we are at the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton, 4825 Hop Yard. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Let me tell you who we got. We've got Dante Hall. He's a former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver.
The human joystick.
And a legendary kick returner. That's Dante Hall. All sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. Nobody plans on getting into a car accident, but if you do, there's only one place to go, Chilton Auto Body. With 11 convenient Bay Area locations, they're just a call or click away. Stop in or go to ChiltonAutoBody.com to schedule a free estimate. ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, live from the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, we are in Pleasanton at the Cheesesteak Shop. Let me tell you how to get out here. 4825 Hop Yard in Pleasanton. Needless to say, some action out here. You going out to get lunch, come by, say hello. We're talking about the Super Bowl. San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we've done a lot of talking about the quarterbacks and which way do you skin the cat? The 49ers, obviously, with Jimmy Garoppolo, they got him on a reasonable deal right now. Chiefs eventually going to have to pay Patrick Mahomes. Matt Steinmetz, Bonte Hill, and Joe Shasky in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. He tried to play hurt yesterday. He tried, and this is one of those things where he just wasn't very good yesterday.
So he was the A.J. Hinch of this particular operation?
Listen, everybody wants
that's
to.
Harsh.
Everybody thinks they can have the Michael Jordan flu game.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks they can have that, but the reality is Guru with a quiet 5 for 19 yesterday.
I don't even know if he was 5 for 19. You're being nice.
I'm different.
So generous.
Is this that playoff game where Steve Young tried to play with broken ribs with the flak jacket in Green Bay?
This is basketball. Yeah, he was like 8 for 31
yesterday. Oh, wow.
1 for 17.
Well, at least he cracked double digits.
I will say this. So he had a Harden game?
He had a Harden game.
I will say this.
He had a Harden game, which would make him happy because he loves James Harden.
We did get a lot. We were getting a lot of texts yesterday, people saying, what's up with Goo's voice? So he is he's really legitimately sick. All right, let's go out to the phone lines and welcome in Dante Hall. Dante's a former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, and he is a legendary kick returner known as the human joystick. Dante, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
You ever close your eyes and picture yourself in this Chiefs offense?
Every week, every Sunday.
and what is that? What does that picture look like in your mind?
I look like the second coming of Tyreek Hill. I mean, this game is pretty much my game, but I would add a little bit of quickness and movement to what he does as far as speed and route running. So I would be a combination of myself with quickness and moves and a combination of his speed and route running. And boy, boy, boy.
I mean, you look – I mean, Dante, you look at this offense with all these speedsters here, and I know the Niners have a great defensive line. What makes this offense, other than this speed, so difficult to defend?
I mean, it's the obvious answer. It's Patrick Mahomes. I mean, yeah. I think any quarterback would be successful as Alex Smith was and Donovan McNabb was when he was with Andy. Andy is the quarterback guru, so any guy that's in this offense is going to succeed. But Patrick Mahomes is this next level good. And I think he's going to negate the strength of the 49ers pass defense because he's just so cagey. He's so smart. And then you throw in the schematics of Andy Reid, I just think it's going to be too much for the 49ers to overcome.
Interesting. You know, Dante, you obviously came into the league, were a prolific kick returner, punt returner, but you played so much wide receiver. How hard is it for these young guys to transition into the NFL? Because I'm looking at both sides, you know, Hardeman for Kansas City and Deebo Samuel for the 49ers, two young players that have really shown impact in year one. How hard is that, though, to go into the wide receiver position in the NFL at 21, 20 years old and have an impact?
It's extremely difficult, and you definitely need to be in the right system. When I came into the league, I was drafted as a returner and a running back, and I was in the wrong system. So it just wasn't going to work for me my first couple of years. Thank God Dick Vermeil came with the Don Curiel offense, the greatest show on turf-style offense, and that fit me a lot better than the West Coast. So the system is everything. That's number one. And then I think just nowadays with guys, it's taking so much time in the offseason as far as working on their craft. They're getting with quarterbacks now, doing 7-on-7. You know, this is outside the facility, outside of what's demanded of them. And I think that's the new trend. So with those things, it's a lot easier. But even with that, I mean, it's just a difficult transition, man.
Dante Hall joining us on 95.7 The Game, former Chiefs All-Pro wide receiver and legendary kick returner. Dante, we've gotten into a little back and forth here on our show regarding special teams. And I know you're a smart man and a man of nuance. So I want to just tell you what I said and tell me if you agree with it. If special teams is a third of the game, my feeling is the NFL is trying to make special teams less important. There are less kick returns. Every time there's a punt, there's a flag. And so what I'm saying is it feels to me like the NFL is trying to make special teams less important in this game, and I think they're kind of making it happen to an extent.
So I agree with you, but I'm also at this. They're not trying. They have done it. I mean, kick returns are down. And it's not by happenstance. They are – They have succeeded in making special teams less part of the game. And I actually had the opportunity to discuss this with Roger Goodell back at the NFL draft. And, you know, they just said the numbers as far as concussions and violent hits and injuries show that kickoffs and special teams are the culprit of the majority of those violent hits and those concussions and things like that. So, obviously, they're trying to make the game safer, and they've succeeded by just simply, you know, pushing up the kickoff to 35 and not allowing you to do West blocks and not allowing you to do certain things within the kicking game. So I agree with you, but I don't think they're trying. I think they've succeeded.
Wow, Dante Hall here on 95.7 The Game. So when you look at this matchup here with the Chiefs and the 49ers, looking at the Niners' offense, what do you think of this offense that's running the ball down teams' throat? They're selective with their passing game, even though I think they'll have to pass a little more in this Super Bowl. Tell me about this Chiefs defense and how they could slow down this Niners offense, Dante.
So speaking of that Niners offense, let me just say this first. If it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, I think this offense and this 49ers team is championship built. And what I mean by that, you guys probably been covering the game for a long time. We all know that a good running game and a sound defense or a stout defense, that's the recipe for playoff and championship football. Not the finesse of the Chiefs offense, not the flash and dash of the offense. It's that sound defense and that sound running game. Mahomes is what basically takes me away from that. So I say that to say this. If it wasn't for Showtime Mahomes, my money would be all in on the 49ers because they are just built right. They're explosive when they need to be in the passing game. They have a dominant running game, obviously led by the Shanahans and being a Kansas City Chiefs player and being a fan now that I'm out of the game. I know what the Shanahan running game can do. They can pretty much plug anybody into their schemes and make them look like an all-pro. Terrell Davis. And what was the guy? Clinton Porter. And there was another guy that was he was in the Army.
Tatum Bell, Mike Bell, Alenis Gary, Travis Henry.
There you go. There you go. So, exactly. So, I've seen enough proof that any Shanahan scheme, whether it's his son or his dad, I mean, the schemes are just, you know, just amazing. But I think Showtime Mahomes is going to be the difference. But I really like their offense and what they're able to do. I'm also a Garoppolo fan. I think, you know, I said it on another show. If Bill Belichick is behind this guy, who am I not to be behind this guy? Are you kidding me? So I believe in Garoppolo. I love the explosive receivers that they have in Samuel and the possession guy, Emmanuel Samuel. What's the number 17, I believe it is? You got the running
Emmanuel
game.
Emmanuel Sanders, yeah.
Garoppolo. Yeah. I really think they have a really, really sound offense now. They not my Kansas City Chiefs offense.
It's okay. I'm just glad you're using fresh material with us as opposed to some of your other hits. Let me ask you about Richard Sherman. As a former 49, as a former wide receiver, excuse me, what makes Richard Sherman so unique? Like, what's the one thing when you watch him, you go, man, he just does this different than everyone else out there?
He's just cagey. I know that's a cliche word, but it's cagey is just another word in football to call a guy smart. He's seen it all. He does all the little things, little technical sound things. That's what makes him that. And then you throw on top that he's long, he's fast. It's just a tough opponent to go against from a receiver standpoint. But if I had to just say one thing, it's he's cagey. He just does all the little technical things soundly.
Hey, Dante, I'm looking at this list here that the NFL came out with, and they got you 10th all time?
You were better than Dave Meggett.
You got hosed, my man.
And that's not the NFL list. That's the media. That's you guys.
Yeah.
You NFL.
That's a clown.
And you radio guys.
I mean, I got you top.
Go ask some punchers. I'll tell you what. They redid that list and went and asked some special teams coaches and some players. I bet you that list would look a little different.
Dante, I got your top three. I got Billy White Shoes Johnson, Rick Upchurch, and you.
What about Hester?
Devin Hester?
What are you doing?
That's off to the old school.
You're not even having Hester number one. Oh, get that guy off the air, man.
Dante, I'm older than you, man. I got to pay respect.
But you got to be real. Devin Hester is by far the number one returner all time.
Like, I'm going to give another look.
Dante, I want to ask you, did you ever play as yourself in Madden, though? Come on, be honest.
I mean, I don't have to. Like, you don't even have to give me that privilege. Of course, that's all I played with.
He's the human joystick, crying out loud.
Yeah. You were my favorite player for about 6 years there.
Yeah, so was I.
Oh, man. Hey, Dante, before we go, we're getting predictions from all our guests, and I want to get one from you.
Oh, Chiefs 34-31. I think I think it's going to come down to the end. But I think the 49ers offense will put up enough points, but I think it's the Chiefs in the end. Mahomes late to win it on a late last-second field goal. 34-31 Chiefs.
Dante, thank you so much, man. You were great. A lot of fun.
Very good, a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, anytime. All right. Take care.
All righty. That's Dante Hall. And each guest is being asked to make a celebrity prediction, and that's brought to you by FitAid, the number one post-workout recovery drink in America. And Dante Hall has 34-31 Chiefs. I never get mad at somebody who...
Yeah, pick the Chiefs. But KC.
He's riding harder than Joe Montana is for the Niners. Can you believe it?
No.
I mean, geez Louise.
Hey, but Dante Hall's as real as they get. And when you get a nickname, the human joystick, you know you're a gangster. When you can be called the human joystick, and he broke it down well, man. He's a Money Mahomes guy, and that's... A lot of people think that's the great equalizer, which is why the spread is where the spread is, because of Patrick Mahomes. And everybody's trying to compare him to Dan Marino when he entered the Super Bowl against the Niners,
yeah.
John Elway. I'm not saying he's better than those guys, but I'm saying this offense is better than those offenses. And when you got an arm like he does and you can scramble out of the pocket like he does, that is the big X factor. He is that special.
He's very special. He's absolutely special. But Dante Hall, the guy we just had on, he's a top five player all time in Madden for me.
Yeah,
I got Michael Vick. I got him. I got Bo Jackson back in Tecmo Bowl days. And what
Lawrence
do you think, Devin
Taylor,
Hester?
Well, Lawrence Taylor at Tecmo Bowl was pretty damn special, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I had a year in Tecmo Bowl where he had 34 sacks with me.
Dante Hall was awesome. I mean, he was so special back in the day. That was a cool interview for me.
I mean, I'm just fascinated because there's just somebody will say something, then you'll start thinking about it. And then it can be anything from the most technical thing to the broadest thing.
Right.
And Dante Hall, basically, what it all boils down to is he thinks Mahomes won't be able to be handled, or Mahomes will be able to score enough points that they're going to beat the Niners.
Well, having a couple of their losses come
down. Of a game.
Yeah, but having two of their losses of the three, they lost to Atlanta. Julio Jones went off late in that game. The other two, Lamar pretty much had his way with them.
Yep.
And Russell Wilson pretty much had his way for the entire second half with the 49ers outside of that throw to Dre Greenlaw that got picked off in overtime.
Then I guess the argument is, well, now they're healthy as they've been all season. And it looks sure like they're clicking on all cylinders. Man, it's going to be fun.
By the way, real quick about Dante Hall, I always think about players, whether it's the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NFL. Like, boy, if he played this era, he would dominate. Dante Hall was ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine him in today's pace and with the way the spacing is in the NFL, Dante Hall would be an absolute monster in today's game.
Yeah, he really would. It'd be fun to see. Let's go out to San Francisco. Let's go to the city. Spaz, what's up, Spaz? How you doing, man?
What's up with my guys? How y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Doing good. Ready for that cheesesteak.
I just want to vent for a second. I don't know what's going on with all these people. Like, I just don't understand. The guy I had on earlier, the NFL insider guy, you know,
Adam Kaplan?
Yeah, he's going to say, if the Niners get down, I don't know if they can score. Like, has anybody not watched football this year?
Well.
Like, what's going on with people? And then another thing, it's like, oh, Mahomes. Yeah, I understand all that. But, you know, what would they say in the past month? Oh, Russell Wilson, he lost week 17. Kirk Cousins, lost. Aaron Rodgers, lost. Last time I looked, there was 11 people on the field. You know what I'm saying? We about to crash him on the O-line and the D-line. And then the guy Adam talking about, he has to throw it more than 25 times. Why? If we running it down their throat, it's going to be a replay of the Green Bay game. Nobody.
All right, Spaz, I got a question for you. Because when he said that, I took a note, too. And I'm just wondering if Jimmy Garoppolo – hey, how about this, Spaz? I lost my train of thought right in the middle of the – but it was really –
Simon,
you're really,
doing a
really,
great job.
Dante, talk for a second.
Here's
get rid of Spaz because I'll come
Spaz.
To it.
He but forgot to question Spaz.
No.
He spazzed out. Stiney
no, it was
–
Here it is.
He's on that guru show.
Okay. So the old adage, if you get behind, can't run. Well, okay, let's go through it. If you get down 7-0, do you abandon your run game?
No, you
of course
still
okay.
run.
Okay. What about 14-0?
No, you still run.
They did
okay,
that
what about
in New
14?
Orleans.
What about 21-7 midway through the second?
Same still thing
run.
In New Orleans.
Okay.
They ran.
That's the point is at what point can't you run anymore?
Fourth quarter.
Well,
middle of the third quarter.
And that's kind of That's kind of what I think. I think the 49ers, at least now, Shanahan, will err on the side of, you know, trying to run too much than not trying to run at all.
But Shanahan said something important recently where he said, look, I'm not going into the game saying I need to run it 2 times and then pass, or I need to run it 10 straight times and then pass it 10 straight times. I'm going off of feel. Basically, Shanahan is going to feel the game out. If the running game is cooking, he's going to say, you know what? Let's continue to do it until they freaking stop it.
But,
and if they stop it, then he has a counter.
But let's say, yeah, it's easy to say if they're running it, he's going to keep doing it. My thing is you know how he is and every coach is, you know, at what point do they get down? If they get down, do you start going away from that? And you're saying fourth quarter.
Yeah. I think that's legitimate.
Okay, so as long as it's within a two-score game, essentially.
Middle of the third quarter for me.
And you're giving your defense time to rest on the sideline because presumably they're gassed out, and that's why they've been getting torched and you're down 2 touchdowns. Here's the thing that they've done pretty much all year. They've gotten Jimmy rhythm early and often by throwing the ball to Emmanuel Sanders. Ever since they made that acquisition, first half, especially in the first drive, you've seen multiple targets to Deebo Samuel on the slant and over the middle to Emmanuel Sanders. That's the comfort zone for not only Jimmy Garoppolo, but this offense gets those safeties to back up a little, and then it opens the running lanes for later on in the game. And I just think that they're going to throw early, and then they're going to get this defense on their heels and then run it right down their throat.
Yeah, if they do fall behind 2 scores and you're in the fourth quarter, well, I think you have to abandon the run. You got to go up tempo and no huddle in that situation. Middle of the third quarter, I think you got to see it. Okay, are we down 10? Okay, we can still run it here. If we're down 14, we're down 17, you're going to just have to say, empty the gun. We got to go out and pass the ball, which Garoppolo can do. He comes from a spread system. He's not afraid of passing. He's not a bad passer at all. But I think if you're down 10 in this game and you're looking at Mahomes and they're cooking, we're gonna have to say, you know what? We got to scrap the run game.
Okay, let's go. Worst case scenario, and what happens to the Niners is what happened to the Chiefs in Week One. Mm-hmm. They're down, or in the first week of the playoffs, you get down 17 or 20 at the end of the first quarter. Gosh, it's going to be hard for them to not try to get more explosive.
Yeah, but that's where they always hit. Like, they get these tight bunch formations.
Well, they don't get down much. No, that's the other issue. What's their biggest deficit this year?
21-7 to the New Orleans Saints.
And at what point in that game?
Yes.
Still very early.
It was after Cook caught the touchdown and got concussed and actually came out of that game.
That's right.
They still ran Mostert in the second quarter.
But what they're really good at is they get you super bunch thinking that you're going to run the ball, and then they run these deep bootleg actions to either throw across the field to Kittle, across the field to Deebo Samuel. They're actually a quick strike offense when they need to be.
Right.
Well, go back to that Seattle game. One of my critiques, and this is a horrible critique to have, they scored too quick and too often in that game, and I felt like the defense was on the field the entire second half because their passing game was so effective. Kansas City's D, I just don't fear them that much. I really don't. I just don't fear them. I think that they're going to be able to move the ball at will against them.
And that's really what it comes down to for me. I don't know about at will. Yeah. But I just look at the – and I get it, special teams mean something. But on balance, the weak link is the Kansas City Chiefs defense of the four, you know, areas. Kansas City offense, defense, 49ers offense, defense. And that is why I would probably bet on the 49ers.
Yeah, but that's why, too, I don't think it could be obvious with your running game. I think Tennessee got them. Their issue was, in that third quarter, down four, they forced the Chiefs to punt twice. In that third quarter, they were too damn predictable with their running game.
Their whole offense
way too predictable. First and second down, let's just run it into a 9-man front and think we could move the pile. Derrick Henry was tired. There was a lot of freaking fire miles on those legs. When you think about it, they went to Houston.
Yeah.
They went to New England. They went to Baltimore and then to Kansas City. The Niners on first and second down, like we were talking about Adam Kaplan, you got to mix in some play action. It can't be too obvious with your running game because they're going to sell out to stop the run. Kansas City will sell out to do that. So if you hit them with some first down passing and break it open a little bit with Kittle and Deebo, then you loosen them up, because that's what happened to Green Bay. They got loosened up.
But we're not giving enough credit to the creativity of Shanahan. Against Minnesota, it was all power run game. Very simple. Let's get in an offset eye formation, maybe a little bit of pre-snap motion, and we're going to run it down your throat. The following week against Green Bay, you saw all the misdirections, the counters, all the cutbacks, all the ones where let's motion Juszczyk all the way over to the right side, and then he's going to flip back around to the left side and get everybody flowing in one direction, spin it back the other way. They're a very aggressive run game team. That we don't give aggressive that term to running. Third and eight, okay? Third and eight, and everyone's saying you got to throw the ball in this situation. They do a gun run, and it goes for a touchdown. You can be aggressive.
A gun run. Haven't heard that one in a while.
Used to hear
it every other sentence.
Oh, man.
Well, that's because they had Carlos Hyde on the team.
By the way, you're right, and a run game can be – we were talking about this yesterday. Run games can be explosive.
Okay,
people were saying explosive offenses, and they equate that with passing offenses.
Like that Matt Breida first play against.
Well, no, what I was saying is you always say explosive team's a passing team.
Yeah,
I was the Oklahoma Sooners back in the day. Now, that was an explosive running team, but we never think of them like that.
Yep, Tommy Frazier, Nebraska. Hey, everybody out there, it is Super Week here on 95.7 The Game, and we're hitting the road for a broadcast blitz to hang with you, the faithful. We're broadcasting live from a different location every day this week. Tomorrow, join us from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Bartlett Hall, located at 242 O'Farrell Street in the city. That's Bartlett Hall, 242 O'Farrell Street in San Francisco. And for a list of locations, visit the events page at 957thegame.com.
All righty, when we come back, we'll take more of your calls at 888-957-9570. And we're at the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton. Come on out. We're on Hop Yard Road.
I'm getting hungry.
We got 2 hours here. It's part of our week on the road, and that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru, live from the Cheesesteak Shop in Pleasanton on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, it is a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Porsche Walnut Creek, a Michael Stead dealership. Let's go out to the phone lines where we're going to welcome in George Chihori, and I hope I'm saying that correctly. He works for Pro Football Focus as an analyst, and he also does the analytics for Sunday Night Football. George, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to just start with maybe an obvious one, but can you tell our listeners exactly your job description for the Sunday night football games?
Yeah, it's a really cool opportunity. So obviously my boss is Chris Collinsworth, and so part of what we do for him is we provide sort of a breakdown and a preview for the Sunday night production team. So that includes Fred Godelli, who's the executive producer. It includes the talent, so Chris and Al and Michelle, and also the graphics side of things. So it's really kind of a multifaceted preview. It includes a very rigorous kind of analytical breakdown of the game, a more high-level one geared at producing graphics for the, you know, average fan, and then also kind of an in-between for Chris so that he can, you know, both explain in simple language but also make sure he hits on the right points. So it's a week-long thing. It's a lot of fun, obviously results in a great production.
So tell me, George, the analytics, because I'm not a big analytic guy when it comes to football. I'm not even going to lie to you. I keep it simple. How many yards are you gaining per play, per rush, per pass? But what's the big – what are your analytics telling you when it comes to this Kansas City offense against this Niners defense? What are the analytics showing to where can the Niners slow down Mahomes and the Chiefs?
Yeah, no, and I'm with you. I actually think that a lot of people confuse – using math and analytics as making it more complicated, when really the beauty is in how you can boil it down and simplify it a little bit. So I'm with you there. And one of the things that I think comes out of that is the importance of the passing game in today's NFL, because you mentioned yards per play, right? And obviously taking down a distance into context is important, but when you do so, passing is supreme, right? If you have a really good passing offense, traditionally that carries from week to week. It's predictive, and that's obviously something that the Chiefs have, and they have it in a couple of different ways that I think are a little bit scary if you're the Niners defense. And here's what I mean by that. Mahomes is kind of this big play guy in many people's minds, But really what he's done in this playoff run is he has showed people how high his floor is. The guy just doesn't make mistakes. I mean, he's accurate at every level of the field. He takes sacks at the second lowest rate in the NFL, despite being a guy that holds onto the ball for a long time. And he's accurate at short, intermediate, and at deep levels. So the challenge for the 49ers defense, obviously, is to force him to make those plays that are shorter and have to make more plays to score and hope that obviously that will entice maybe a few more mistakes and then they can capitalize on them. But really, it is as tough a challenge as any defense is going to face.
You know, before I ask you about what the analytics tell you, about Jimmy Garoppolo, I got to ask the question that all 49er fans have, specifically for your boss, Chris Collinsworth. Does he truly hate the 49ers for beating him in the Super Bowl?
You know, this is funny. He obviously is a super competitive guy. There's a couple things about Chris. He is easily one of the hardest working people I've ever met. He's one of the most generous people I've ever met. And he's one of the more competitive people that I've ever met. And so if I would be lying to you, if it still does not sting him to this day that he does not have a Super Bowl ring because of the 49ers. However, I will tell you this as well. He told me in a couple of text conversations that he thinks the Niners have this one. He's picking the Niners in this game. So I don't think that competitive streak is getting in the way of his analysis.
So then from there, what do the analytics tell us about Jimmy Garoppolo? You broke down Patrick Mahomes saying that he gets sacked the second fewest times in the NFL. Well, what are some of the key things about Jimmy Garoppolo that the analytics tell us?
Well, the passing game for the Niners, I think it's the most important component of this game, is the biggest, I think, amount of variance and what we could get out of them. And it will determine, I think, the results of the game. But there's a little bit of, I think, a narrative around Jimmy G that because he only threw the ball, you know, a handful of times in a couple of routes over teams that were just overmatched, that he's not a good quarterback. And that just isn't the case. Since Sanders came over in that trade, he's our eighth highest graded quarterback. He's making very few what we call negatively graded throws. So those are like uncatchable passes, you know, throws that would be a first down that he doesn't put in a place that a guy can catch the ball, which is generally something that's pretty consistent. Here's the thing with Jimmy G, though. We don't have a huge sample size of him playing in some situations. And what I mean by that is when they're losing, right? I mean, I look to the New Orleans game as really that kind of one litmus test, and he certainly passed that with flying colors, right? They were down 20-7. They end up scoring 21 points with only 20 rushing yards to take the lead in that game. So we certainly have seen that he can do it. He can carry an offense with Kyle Shanahan calling the plays. We just don't have a big enough sample size to be as confident in him doing it as we do Mahomes, which is, I think, where the